Good morning, men. I'm glad to be here today. I'm excited to be the third speaker in our series Forward that we've been doing here for the last couple of weeks. Hopefully I can do half as good as the guys so far, and it'll be great. Are you living the life you want to live today? That's what I'm going to be talking about today. In John 10:10, Jesus said, and I'm sure you've all heard this, it's a famous quote, "I come so that they," meaning us as followers, "might have life and have it more abundantly." Would you consider yourself to be living an abundant life today? Or would you say it's maybe okay, mediocre, average? In reality, all of us should be trying to work continually to improve ourselves, to be better for God and for those around us, so that we can serve Him through serving others. As the expression goes, grow or die. This is why this speaker series is called Forward. We all want to move forward in 2021. What is the key to improving your life so that you consider it to be abundant? Or as my friend and coach for 22 years, Tommy Newberry, says, optimal, which I love that word. About 400 years before Jesus was born, so many, many, many years ago, a famous Greek philosopher, Socrates, said, "To know thyself is the beginning of all wisdom." Proverbs 24:3 says, "Build a house, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." What this says to me, men, is that we're the house. We are the house. We need wisdom to be the best we can and have success. However, when you think about success, what does that mean to you? I think in our culture, when we think about success, certainly as men, it's all financial. That's all it is. Like, how much money do you have? Do you have more money than the next guy? Fancier car, fancier, more houses, all that kind of stuff. I think in order to define success from a godly perspective, we have to look a lot deeper than that. The last thing God's worried about is how much money we have. That's for sure. So basically, in order to have an abundant life or an optimal life, I think we have to seek to know ourselves and seek to build our relationship with God. How do we do that? From my experience, and I've been working at this a long time, we do this by embarking on an aspirational, so not where we are today, but an aspirational journey that's lifelong, and it's focused on both our personal development and growing our individual relationship with God. Got to have both of these parts. We got to be maximizing ourselves, and we do that through getting to know God better. We need to be aware of our strengths and weaknesses so that we can use the gifts and opportunities that God has given us to achieve the abundant life He envisions and talks about for us. Please let me share my story with you and give you some background this morning. I'm going to go back to 1999. I was 31 years old, 53 today, do the math. My wife Nancy and I had been married for 6 years at the time. She's an awesome person. She's one of the most giving people I ever have known in my life, and that's why I'm here and half the man I am today. A lot of it has to do with her, for sure. Our first child and our daughter Meg was 2 years old at the time. I'd just been given the news by my doctor that my cholesterol was sky high at 31. This was a big wake-up call for me. My doctor, who knows my family history, many of you may know my father, Solon. My dad had a heart attack at 51, and my doctor, who's very direct, said, "You're heading right down that path right now if you don't do something different." Now, this is kind of a hard thing to talk about because my dad is my greatest hero in the world. I mean, I emulate him in so many different ways. He's instilled values in me that drive me work-wise, family-wise, in every way. He's been a real great model for me. But I certainly wasn't looking to emulate him in the area of having a heart attack at 51. That was one thing I was not looking to do. So thankfully, he's alive and doing great today, 34 years later, which is awesome by changing his life and by God's grace. But I hope to avoid going down a difficult path that he had to go down to get from where he was then to where he is today. My doctor suggested giving medicine to me, but I was 31, and I said, you know, wonder if I can do this another way, at least put off the medicine for a number of years, which is how it worked out. But I was, I, I wanted to work on my diet, which was horrendous. I think I had French fries 7 times a week back in those days. I think that's not a lie. And exercise regime, which was terrible. I mean, I think I was probably laboring going to the mailbox in the morning. I was sharing this news with a client of mine the next week. It's amazing how God puts people in your life. And she was telling me that she'd been involved in Tommy's program, Tommy Newberry's 1% Club program. I don't know how many of y'all know Tommy Newberry, but just like in here, there's a ton of real estate guys. In his program, there's a lot of real estate guys. There's a lot of overlap between these groups, a lot of similar values between the programs. And she told me that this program was a lot more than just making more money and building wealth. She went on to tell me how most of the people that join the program have 3-year goals focused on 5 different areas. The 5 areas are typically faith, marriage, parenting, fitness, and business. The fitness part was obviously really appealing to me with the cholesterol deal, and I needed some progress, so that's what got me to sign up originally. I'd already had business goals. I always had had business goals for my dad, but I didn't really ever think about having other goals that were non-business. This conversation convinced me to sign up. I plumped down at that time, which was a lot of money for me at that point, to join the program. But that sent me down a course that changed my life in so many ways that I'll share with you, including that's why I'm here today is because of that ministry. By the way, the name 1% Club, because I get this question a lot, it doesn't have anything to do with the political movement from a few years ago against Wall Street. That's not what it was about. It's about the Harvard Business School study that came out in 1979, which showed clearly that people that had written goals achieved 10 times more than people that didn't, at least some depending on the studies you read. That study was focused on wealth creation, but once again, I learned that proper goal setting helps you achieve so much more than wealth. In my first year, just to give you a couple of examples, my first 3 years in the program, I developed a diet and an exercise plan that lowered my cholesterol back to the normal range without medicine. I ran a half marathon in just over 1 hour and 45 minutes, which is not great for anybody who's a fast runner, but was great for me, given where I was coming from, for sure. And I started putting limits on my work hours. I was working till 7-8 o'clock at night, and I was achieving a certain level, which was decent. I started working till 4 or 5 o'clock and making twice as much money by being more efficient with my time and learning how to think bigger, which was a big part of the program. I was always home for dinner with Nancy and Meg, and I had been missing dinner prior to that. Now, she was 2, so I'm glad I got that message then rather than 15 years later. Despite working less, I doubled my income in the next 2 years. I started a tradition, which is one of our biggest things, which was in the bio, I think, that Gene put out. I've been taking a 2-week or longer vacation, which I'm a huge advocate of if any of y'all are not doing this, particularly you younger guys. 2 weeks in a row for 22 straight years. And that's going to be at least 2 weeks in a row. And so we're going to Alaska this year, so I'm really fired up about that. Nancy and I made regular date nights a priority. So that was one of my marriage goals, and that was a big deal. We attended a lot of couples planning retreats and really helped to build our relationship up to a whole nother level. The biggest thing for me and why I'm here today is I read the Bible for the first time seriously. I set a goal, which I don't necessarily recommend this exact goal, but read the Bible from page 1 to page whatever it is at the end. And I did that in about 2.5 years. There's some parts of the Bible that are pretty brutal. I would recommend for a little more judgment. You get a little lost in Kings and a few other things. And so there's some better ways to do it. These plans for a year are probably a better option. But it helped build a faith foundation for me that brought me to where I am today. Palmer Bayless and Ken Ashley, fellow 1% Clubbers, invited me to come to the table with Ken and Jeff 12 or 13 years ago. And those guys have all had a huge impact on me. Chris White, the younger and the older, have had a huge impact on me. Homo Sasso being one of the ways, as a matter of fact. And Jeff Shaw is absolutely fantastic. You know, thank you to him for giving me this much cooler looking mask than I had before. Great place to come in the morning and an incredible table experience for a lot of years. also want y'all to think about another key concept, and you might be kind of getting it for what I'm saying, and that's accountability. If you're going to be successful and move forward, thinking discipline is going to get you there is the biggest myth in the world. I'm probably a 6 on the discipline scale. I'm certainly not undisciplined, but I'm not a 10. I love to not do things as much as I love to do things. And so that old saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions is so true. How do you take a list, and this is a January question, right? How do you take a list of New Year's resolutions, good intentions, goals, concepts, and ideas that look great on paper, but nothing ever happens, and turn them into action? How do you do that? I think that's what I had to kind of figure out at the beginning of my journey in 1999 in order to move forward. And for me, a big part of it was accountability. A buddy of mine, Chad Harlan, who works with me at Northwestern Mutual, we discuss our action items for the week every Monday morning for about 20 or 30 minutes. We ask each other questions that we pose. So I give him questions to ask me. He gives me questions to ask him. And I'll tell you, that makes a huge difference, as I'll explain a little more later. I've also got a coach within the 1% Club program that I talk to once a month. I've got my business coach, Ted Keeler, who's here, who I talk to every week. He's helped me tremendously. And, of course, I've got a personal trainer. And I think the personal trainer is the best example of why we need accountability. I mean, a personal trainer on the surface seems like a ridiculous job, right? I mean, why in the world do we need somebody to tell us to get on the treadmill, work out? Well, the real reason is they obviously give you technique and that kind of thing. That's important. But the most important thing is accountability. I mean, if you have like I've got a 5:30 this afternoon with my trainer, I'm going to go there. You know, if it was 5:15 and I'm sitting at home and I'm like, I'm the guy who's going to make myself work out in 15 minutes, you know, Netflix might be coming on, but and the bourbon may be coming out, but it's not going to happen if I've got to meet him there. So I'm not going to do 3 sets of burpees. I might do 1, but that's it. I'm done after 1. He's going to make me do 3. So that's the hard things are what accountability make you do, and that's why it's so important. If you're a small business owner like I am, it's a lonely world. It gives you a boss if you have an accountability partner. There's some items that get pushed from week to week. I'll do that all the time, and Chad will eventually call me out and say, hey, what's up with this? Why haven't you done this? That's incredibly powerful. I don't want to disappoint him, and the reason I don't want to disappoint him is because we have a relationship that's important. So when you're looking for someone as an accountability partner, I can't recommend this more as a great thing to pick up in January of a year. Think about somebody you respect, admire, and share commonality with. He's with Northwestern Mutual. He's a devout Christian. Has a strong prayer life. He's a father. And until a few years ago, he was a husband. Tragically, Chad lost his wife, Julie. Some of you all may know this story. Julie's Dream is a charity that came out of this. It's having an event Saturday night. She was 40 years old 3 years ago and passed away tragically of cancer. I'll never forget the conversation I had with him when he was headed out to see her in Houston, thinking this was just part of the process, and then she passed away a couple days after. It was just terrible. But I feel so privileged to be a part of the success he's experiencing as he's rebuilding his life and taking care of his 2 young boys who are awesome. He's doing an amazing job. But he's a decade younger than me, but we share so many values. I don't want to tell him that I hadn't done something. That may sound silly, but it's part of its ego, part of its competitiveness, but it's just like you want to tell them you've done what you're supposed to do. By the way, if you're looking for an accountability partner, do not choose your spouse, by the way. I will tell you, I think we would all agree we get enough accountability from our spouse without soliciting it. And so we don't want to, Nancy and I have got a great relationship, but if it was my spouse, if she was my accountability partner, that would not go well. Do not do that. Proverbs 15:2 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. This has always been one of my favorite verses. I've had a lot of great counselors in my life. I've talked about a bunch of them today. I mentioned briefly Ted Keeler, But I know 2 weeks ago he kicked off this speaker series, and I thought did a great job of getting us to think about where we want to go with our lives and what tools we need. But the amazing life and career planning program that Chris White started, that my dad went through when he transitioned from working to retirement, has made a massive difference in his life. And the updated version that Ted's put together is incredible. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about it and give you background. Ted and I have been working together since 2004. He helped me transition my business from a sales-based insurance business to a wealth management fee-based business, which is fiduciary. Could not be more different businesses. I mean, you might as well go from being a ditch digger to, building telephone poles or something. It's a totally different thing than what we were doing before. He introduced me to this idea of having a purpose and knowing your purpose through a book by Kevin McCarthy that's an allegorical book called The On Purpose Business. You may have heard of all these On Purpose series. This is the guy that wrote this. Not one of the ones you hear more about, but by far, to me, one of the most impactful books I ever read. I learned through this book that, like in all areas of life, life is really about pursuing your purpose that God gave you and using it to serve others. Profit then becomes a result of serving others, not a goal in and of itself. So let me repeat that. I think this is unbelievably important. Profit then becomes a result of serving others and not a goal in and of itself. It's something that happens, not something that you're focused on. This is certainly countercultural, but true, and I think this is what God desires for us when we're in the work world. Through the work we did together, Ted helped me understand that my purpose is to serve God and humanity by encouraging others to take action. Ted taught me I could operate in my purpose through my business role much better in the current role than I did before. God had equipped me better for this role than the traditional sales role, and that's transformed my business and my life. The growth has been amazing. Just like goal setting, my purpose covers all areas of my life. I encourage action in both my business and personal life. You can ask anybody who knows me, and they'll tell you that's true. He would not have given me this gift if he didn't want me to use it. Now, my wife and kids don't always think this is a gift, by the way. Encouraging them is not always what they want, but maybe I get a little too over the top with it. But this is something that empowers me, and I am never working when I'm encouraging others. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. So I strongly, and I'll wrap it up here, guys, and strongly encourage you guys to reach out to Ted, Brian, who did an awesome job speaking last week. That was incredible. Mark Maynard or me, and learn more about this program. I, like Brian and several others, have recently gone through it. I also encourage my brother Joe to go through it. He did. He thought it was great. He has spent less time working on these things than I have in the past. He thought it was just awesome. And despite all the goal setting and personal development focus I've had for the last 20 plus years, I got a lot out of it. Mark asked me what specifically did I get out of it. There were a couple things. One is, while I knew I was a good fit, it ends up that financial advisor is the number one job on the list that Ted gave me. When they look at your personality traits, your life experiences, and they tell you what job you should be doing, I was in the number one job, which was pretty awesome. I also learned that I've got a huge flaw that I need to work on that is also because of my strengths. And that is, while I pray consistently and I intercede for others in prayer, I lack confidence in my ability to discern God's will for my big decisions. I tend to want to control things. I'm a planner, so this is kind of where it's a negative. I need to be more open to God's message for me and what he's telling me at any given time. As James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. This verse is very encouraging to me. I know God's going to give me the wisdom I need. I need to seek it, and I need to be quiet and listen to it, and plan less and listen more. Whether you spent years working on your personal development or just getting started, this program will grant you insights that you've never considered into God's unique abilities and unique purpose and plan for your specific life. Ted will shepherd you through the process. He also can provide accountability after the process as you implement the plan. And discovering your God-given purpose and creating a plan to implement it in all areas of your life, not just business, is the key, men, I think, to having life and to having a life that you're living abundantly as opposed to one that is not at that level. If you're working and living in your purpose, life is so much easier, so much more rewarding, and I promise if you go down this path, you're never going to regret it. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity today to share this exciting new program in January of the year when we're just starting the year and we've got all these great ideas that we want to put to work. I thank you for Ted and Mark and Leadership Development Company for creating this program. I pray for the success of it and that through it, many men may come to understand the rich blessings that flow from both understanding and living the purpose you have given them, Heavenly Father. Please help us to live our purposes in our roles as businessmen, as fathers, as husbands, as sons, and as friends, so that we may serve you and others as you intend. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a great time at your tables this morning.